Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mary.
Quiet. Welcome.
Thank you.
Today, I figured before we start the session, I would give a little follow-up to the open session that Rodney was so gracious to do for us.
Yay, Rodney!
And I gave my example of paying attention to all the wrong things. And I've gotten a lot of feedback on that. So I thought today, before we start the session, I would do a little follow-up to that example that I gave, because I've had a lot of people since then talk to me and ask me questions about, wow, so you had this revelation and you figured this out, and did everything change, and is everything like great and perfect now? And the answer to that is no. And I thought about it a lot after listening to people's questions, and I figured it would be a good idea to share what my experiences have been since then, because I think that lots of people get the idea in their head that, you know, when you figure something out, then everything changes right away. And that doesn't always happen. And that doesn't mean you're not on the right track. It just means that it takes some time to adjust and to put into practice, you know, what you've learned. And also, I think for most people, including myself, you know, you have a breakthrough about something and it's like this great realization and you get really excited, but that's just kind of like the big bang, and then all these other pieces start to come together and you start to understand what that realization really meant. Because when you first get the realization, it's all exciting, and you think, oh, wow, now I really got it, and whatever. And then you discover that, oh, there's a lot of other pieces to this that I didn't see right away. And some of those pieces that I realized after the Big Bang realization that I was paying attention to all the wrong things.
Bless you,
Laura. Really long time, was that I started paying attention to the things that I was doing that seemed to be habitual, things that were just like habits that I wasn't really thinking about. I just did them. And I started to pay attention to them, thinking, why am I doing this? One of the things that I noticed myself doing quite a bit was, you all know I have my appointment book, and I very consistently check it. My appointment book is set up like anybody else's day runner, which is what it is, and you know, it's a whole calendar month that you can look at all at one time with all the boxes, and I write in everybody's name that are doing sessions or have a session coming up or have done sessions and whatever. And this has become such a habit for me that I don't even have to think anymore. I can just look at it visually and the information is already there. But I didn't know what I was looking at. I mean, I didn't know why. Why am I looking at my book? And why do I keep doing this? I do it, like, every day. And so I started to really think about it, and I'm like, okay. Because I'm not thinking when I do it. I just glance at it, take in the whole calendar of the month in 2 seconds, and then I put put it down. And I realized that the reason I do that is because I'm checking. I'm somehow processing in a second how many sessions I've done, how many I'm doing, how many I have coming up, and the reason I'm doing that is to make sure I'm okay. To make sure that I'm going to be okay, that when the first of the month comes, I can pay all my bills, and it'll be okay. Now, the reason that this is significant is because in this past 7 months, I've given myself evidence after evidence after evidence in actual, real, physical things that I'm fine. There's no reason for me to keep checking. It's a habit, but it's more than a habit. There's something underneath that habit that keeps me doing this habitual action. So I really started to think about that and try and evaluate what motivates me. Why do I need that reassurance all the time? And I realized that most people have some time in their life where they have struggled. Doesn't matter if it's struggling with money, or struggling with a relationship, or struggling with a job, or struggling with themself. It doesn't matter what the struggle is. It's struggling. And somehow, I believe that we kind of intrinsically are born with or come into this lifetime with a sense of trust, but that trust starts getting stomped on over and over and over and over again throughout our lives. And struggle is a huge stomper on trust. This led me to start thinking about times in my life that I've struggled and how that gets so stuck inside of us that even when things are good and you're not struggling, you still got that sense of not trusting that things will be okay. And the idea of saying to myself, well, things are okay now, I'm okay now, doesn't do a whole lot to quiet that other voice that keeps saying, yeah, but what about next week? Or what about next month? And what about what could happen? Or will I be okay? And it's interesting that when I really started to, you know, delve into this whole thing about struggle, and it doesn't matter if it's you personally that have had to struggle, or if it's something that you've observed with somebody close to you, it seems to do the same thing. It registers the same way. Because I can look at my granddaughter, who is only 7, personally, at 7 years old, she's not personally struggling. She has everything she wants. She has more than she needs. She doesn't personally struggle with life or providing for herself or having what she needs or having what she wants. But even at 7, she is aware to an extent that her mother is struggling, and not just in relation to money. She's aware that her mother is struggling with relationships, with work, with other things in her life, And it affects her just as strongly as if it were her own experience. So I realized that it doesn't mean that you have to have some traumatic experience in your life, or that you personally have struggled, although I would say probably 99% of the people do have some personal experience of struggling in some way. And that gets so ingrained inside of us, and there are so many things all around us in everyday life that reinforce it, that we never even think about, that we never even pay attention to or see, that are constantly reinforcing that feeling of struggle or not being able to provide or not having enough or things going away or something being taken away. It's all wrapped up in the same thing, and it all comes down to influencing us to not be able to trust. This gave me a whole new idea about trust itself, which I thought I understood before, but now I'm seeing a whole other layer of that where it's so easy to not trust, and we reinforce it constantly. Some of you have been to the house already yesterday or the day before or whatever and have seen that I acquired 2 little guinea pigs. Okay, they're very cute and they are very picky. They are allowed to eat lots and lots and lots of vegetables. They won't eat them. They have decided they will only eat one thing, one kind of lettuce. I went to the grocery store to get this one kind of lettuce, and the grocery store didn't have any. And in that moment, because right now I'm smacking myself in the face with every kind of example, I'm noticing them all, which is what we do when we have a revelation about something. Then for a while, you just like bombard yourself with everything that possibly can be related to that. You start noticing. It's kind of like being pregnant and noticing that every other woman in the world seems to be pregnant at the same time. And if you're not pregnant, you don't see anybody that's pregnant around you. But that's how it works, because we're paying attention. So I'm standing in the grocery store, and I had this moment. It was no more than 30 seconds, but it was enough to notice that I had this little twinge of, oh crap, what am I gonna do? What are the little pigs gonna eat? I'm like, how am I going to provide for them? They don't have what they eat, and they won't eat anything else. Okay, within a minute or two, I realized, okay, this is not the only grocery store in town. You can go to another one, and they'll have the lettuce there. But in that moment, I realized this is so crazy how this influence of not trusting is so pervasive. It's in everything around us. The very next day, I went online, checked my bank account online, and you know how they have your available balance and your real balance? So I've got my available balance, which is nothing, and I think it was like $6. And I had my real balance, and I was like, why? Why is it not in the available balance? Because the money that had been deposited went straight from PayPal into my account, which immediately registers. They don't hold it. It goes right into your available account. I panicked. mean, only for a minute, but it was enough to notice, and I immediately called the bank and said, what is the matter? Why is this not in my account? Why is it not available? And they were like, well, we're having computer problems, and it'll be there tomorrow, it'll register. I don't need that money. That money was all designated for bills anyway. I wasn't going to use it. There's no reason for me to get upset that it wasn't available to me. I wasn't going to go do anything with it. But just the fact that I couldn't get to it was enough to trigger that again of, oh, here's another example of something in everyday life. Computers fail, there's glitches, things happen, it's not the end of the world, you don't need it anyway, who cares? But I did, and it bothered me. I mean, it's everywhere, all around us, all the time, where, you know, it could be something as little as you're really excited, you're going to meet your friend, go out to dinner, and all of a sudden they're not there. Or they don't show up. Or they call you and say, I can't make it. Okay, another thing that is, I can't do. We can't control it. And I realize, oh, this is a big piece too. Okay, so I trust the things that I can control in my own life if it's only me. If I'm the only one, and even then, it's not 100% because I can control my schedule, but I don't 100% even trust that because something could happen. I could get sick, something could happen, a building could burn down. I mean, all kinds of things could happen that are not in my control. So those are all the things I can't trust because I can't control them. And I was thinking, okay, so this is a new breakthrough that I trust the things I can control, but I'm not 100% trusting the things I can't control. Of course, then somebody did a session and Elias said to them, tell Mary, Michael, on the right track, but no, trust and control don't coexist. I was like, okay, not trusting the things I can control, just thinking I'm trusting the things I can control. Because I'm obviously not trusting that, because the guy just said so. But I thought about it afterwards, and I thought, no, he's probably right, because that isn't really trust. That's just familiar. And it just makes me feel safer that I can expect it because I have control over it. So it's really more of an expectation than it is actual trust. Which then led me to, okay, well then what's this business of trust and how do you do it? And I thought, okay, I can genuinely acknowledge to myself and know what that means, not just say to myself in my head, all right, I don't trust myself 100%, got it. No, but really know that and acknowledge it to myself. All right, you know, I accept that. There is a piece of me that, no, I don't trust 100%. So, all right, what do I do beyond the acknowledging of it? Because that isn't going to be enough. That just says, okay, I see it's there. What can I do that can help me to move more into an expression of trusting Well, obviously I can't go around telling myself, well, I trust myself, because I don't. So that's not true. So I thought about it, and I thought about what Elias said in that open session. What's important, and is that important thing a benefit? So I thought, well, what's important to me is that I'm doing the work that I'm doing. That's definitely important to me, and I believe it's important in general. Is it a benefit? Definitely. It's definitely a benefit to me, and it definitely seems to be a benefit to other people too. So, okay, then if what I'm doing is important, and if it is a benefit, then I must be on the right track. I must be going in the right direction. So if I'm going in the right direction, then something will take care of me. I don't know what that something is yet. Elias would say it's me. Okay, I don't 100% believe that yet, or trust that yet, so I'm not saying it's me. But I can't really say it's God or the universe or whatever, because I don't really believe that either. So I'm just leaving it at something will take care of me, which I can trust. That was enough, that I can trust that. And I do trust that. Maybe eventually, the more I trust that, I can translate that eventually into that something is me and put a name on it. Right now it doesn't have a name. It's just kind of like, you know, Luke and the Force. Trust the Force, Luke. That's what I'm doing. No, trusting the Force, because I don't know what else to trust. I certainly can't really put that on me yet. But I think that that's a big deal, because I think we have a tendency, especially in this group, to throw words around a lot about how we trust this or whatever, and we're paying attention to this, and we're, you know, accepting this and all of that, and maybe we're not all the way, and we just say the words. And it makes a big difference when you're just saying words or when you're really doing it. I think that was a big piece of that 6 months before that open session of me paying attention to the wrong things, which was influenced by not trusting that I can make it. That I can do this. I can do it on my own. I can provide for myself. I can trust myself that I can do it. I am doing it, but I can trust myself that I will keep doing it. No, that wasn't in the picture at all. That was me going in the direction of fighting with myself on a daily basis, and I am not exaggerating or kidding you when I say that. 6 months on a daily basis, every single day. Every day that I picked up my granddaughter, I was fighting with myself. And inside of myself, struggling again in what I couldn't do. This is messing with my schedule. I can't do sessions. I can't do what I want to do. I don't have any time, I can't be free, I'm so restricted, this sucks. And wanting to be angry at something or somebody and having nobody that I could be angry at. I wanted to be angry at my daughter. I can't be angry at my daughter, it's not her fault. I wanted to be angry at the court system. I can't be angry at them. They're just doing their job. I know that. I wanted to find something or somebody that I could be really pissed off at and say, this is all your fault. And there wasn't anything. So it was this constant frustration of having nowhere to release any of this and just have to sit with it and feel it every single day. But the reason I was feeling it every single day is because that's all I was paying attention to, is all those feelings and not doing anything with them. And when I say I didn't have any time for anything, I have the exact same physical amount of time now that I had since September. Now, I'd do whatever I want to do. Then, I literally wasn't doing anything. I would come home, I would drop her off from school, and I would come home and I would plop myself on the couch and I'd start crocheting and thinking. And spend hours thinking and crocheting. Okay, I'm crocheting, so I'm doing something, but I'm not doing anything productive. I'm just sitting there thinking and thinking and thinking about how I have no time. Duh. Like, all right, yeah, I have no time because I'm spending all that time sitting on the couch thinking about not having any time, which is retarded. I'm like, okay, now I'm doing all kinds of things. And like I said, I have the exact same amount of time now that I had then. It's just what I'm doing it with it, which is very much ruled by what my perception of it is. And that seems to be, like what Alaya said, very much ruled by what I'm paying attention to. If I'm paying attention to having no time, then I have no time. If I'm paying attention to, oh, I'm scared to death that I'm not going to be able to make my bills, then I struggle. I make them, but I'm struggling while I'm making them. The thing in this was realizing, yes, it's important, I believe, to pay attention to what you're doing now and what you have now and what you're accomplishing now, just like Elias says. But I think it's also important to realize in that to really give yourself credit. Not to just say, oh, I'm okay, but to really give yourself credit that you are actually doing okay and that you are doing what you want to be doing. If you're just looking at it, that whole time, and that continues to this day now, yes, I wanted to be getting down to only doing one session a day. I'm not doing that yet, but there's a piece of me that's fighting really hard to make that happen, because when I slip and I see one name in one box in my calendar, I immediately think, oh, I can put somebody else in there. And as soon as I do that, if I don't catch myself first, as soon as I do it, something will happen in that person's session won't happen.
Interesting.
It will, something will happen and it will get interrupted. It's like, that one's already there, you did that one today, this one doesn't happen. You will only do one. That's what you want. That's your intention. that's what you've set, you will make it happen, even if it has to happen in difficult ways or frustrating ways. And of course, my automatic reaction to that is, ah, I messed up again. No. Messed up when I stopped paying attention to what I actually want to do and what I actually am doing and went back in that old direction again. And it's so easy to do. It's so automatic. It's so easy. I get an email and pick up the book. Where do I have an open space? Anywhere. Let me put you here. Let me put you there. Oh yeah, I already have somebody on that day. Who cares? I have time. I can do it. That's another piece. I can do it. I can. I'm physically able. I'm strong, tough. I can do this. It's not a matter of I can do it. It's a matter of what I want to be doing, and therefore what I will be. Not what I can do. And there's a big difference between those two things. And I'm really showing myself in big ways that when I step to the side and go back to an old habit, I smack myself right in the face with it. Now, what I also can say as a encouragement about that part is that eventually after a few weeks, which sounds like forever, but it really goes by pretty fast, after a few weeks, at least for me, I get so sick of smacking myself in the face with things that they start to become not important anymore. And as soon as they become not important anymore, I stop doing them. I just stop doing them. Because they're just not important anymore. So that's kind of how what he's talking about works. That, yeah, you smack yourself in the face until you're really sick of it, and then you're like, okay, this is so boring. I'm so tired of getting smacked in the face that you just stop making it important, and it starts to calm down, and it starts to fall away, and you start to be able to move in those new directions easier. But just wanted to connect with all of you and any of you that may be struggling with anything, that it doesn't change overnight. It's not bang, wave the magic wand, and you're all done. But that doesn't mean that you're not on the right track. That doesn't mean that you're not going forward. And that you're not doing what you want to do. You just might not be seeing it yet. But it's happening. And I think that's a really exciting piece. And I think this year, that's been happening a lot with lots and lots of people. Is that they are starting to see, oh, I'm already doing it. I'm already doing what I want to do. I just didn't see it yet. And I think that that's really exciting because I think it means that we really are getting it. Instead of just thinking about stuff, which is a big difference. So, that's my follow-up.
Woo-hoo, thank you.
To the revelation that was not exactly it was a turning point, but not a fix-it. Didn't make everything perfect immediately, but it is moving in that direction, which is a good thing. So,
awesome.
And now, well,
what was I recording?
Well, everybody else recorded it, and guess what? I forgot to hit the button.
Oh, that never happened before.
You think you got it?
You mean this is not recording?
It's really hard to get.
But everybody else recorded it. So
no, I forgot my button too.
So I'm not the only lame one. Oh, good. That's good.
No, with you.